And welcome to the Funny Style Podcast. This is a crazy episode, and I'll explain why in a minute. But we have
Preach Carter,
Matt Glidden.
All right, so where do you guys want to start?
Oof. So Kendrick and Drake, man. Woo! That shit's crazy. As a casual fan of rap, I'm not even going to talk about like, oh, I know all this stuff, but just listen back and forth, word for word, and like dissecting them again as a casual, you know, white boy. I don't know all my shit, but it was exciting from the perspective of a casual fan of rap. Mm-hmm. And it got dicey somewhere toward the end. I feel like Kendrick put out the biggest bop out of all of them. With the not like us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right before Drake basically responded with "Nuh-uh." was crazy.
So to give some context in terms of casual fan versus like fan, So I listen to like the Joe Budden podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't watch DJ Academics like religiously, but mm-hmm. when something's happening, I follow that. And there's Rory and Maul, which is Joe Budden's previous podcast partners. I listen to their podcast. So I'm following this stuff very closely.
Yeah.
To the point where, so, and then also to explain what I've been doing, and we'll talk about that later, I was actually in LA all weekend. So the other thing is, I'm in LA as all these Kendrick Lamar bombs are dropping. So it's a very different.
You're in it.
It's very different.
Oh my god.
So.
Oh, that's so cool.
So the first, which is the one is that? Euphoria, mm-hmm. right? No, it wasn't Euphoria.
Euphoria was the first one that was like.
Yeah, but the one. What was the one? Was it? Yeah, it was Euphoria. It was, no. Where's the what's the one?
The very first
so
one.
Many at this
what's
point.
Exactly? I'm losing
meet
track.
Meet the Gram, yeah. 6:16.
What's the one where
up
he's
at 6 a.m. to record? This yeah, tracks now it's crazy.
So I guess the first one
before Euphoria. Ah, Rudy's hating all of us
right now
because he's listening, going, "Oh, fucking."
But it might have been Euphoria. But I was in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. So this has just been a ridiculous weekend because on Thursday. I was in somewhere in South Florida, close to the Miami area, and I was featuring for Rachel Feinstein. She's big comic. She's been in a bunch of stuff. She's been on, I think, Tonight Show, and she's got a Netflix special coming out, and so she's awesome. So I featured for her at this actually a Jewish temple.
What?
Listen, it's down in South Florida. Where like all the Jews are down in South Florida.
Okay.
And it's I don't know how this works. I don't know if it, cause it's there's a synagogue there, I think. And then there's a community center that's attached to it. And they built the most beautiful facility. It's amazing. It's like, and I think there's a school there and like the rabbis sort of oversee the school. And then now there's this performing arts theater that's there. It's incredible. Like, it's amazing. It was actually the first time I had my own green room as a feature. she got one green room. I got the other green room. And they were like, there was hummus. there was hummus. And snacks and stuff in the green rooms.
Obviously a white comedy club.
So that was fun. And then the following night, which was Friday, I was featuring at Arts Garage down in Delray Beach for, Mary Ellen Hooper, who's, again, another comic that she has a dry bar special. She does cruise ships and stuff. She's clean. She's not entirely clean, but she's fairly clean. So I was featuring for her at the Arts Garage down in Delray, and that's Friday. Saturday morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning was my flight to Houston and then LA. So I stayed at my aunt's house down in Plantation. Mm-hmm. And we're literally about to go to bed. I mean, my show ended in Delray at like 10 o'clock at night. So it's now like midnight and I'm at my aunt's house and I have to get up in like 2.5 hours to get up to go to the airport. So I only have like a 2.5 hour window to sleep. Mm-hmm. And in that moment.
You tell me you didn't have 21 hours to sleep. That's crazy.
In that 2.5 hour window, I get a notification that DJ Academics is live and I click on it and it's Kendrick Lamar dropping. I think it's Euphoria at that point.
So like that was the first one. That's where he said, fuck the big three. Well,
that was the one that was on Future's album.
Yeah.
So that wasn't Future. The direct back and forth where that started.
That was where he called out Drake and J. Cole.
Yeah, yeah.
And then J. Cole was like, my bad, I'm out.
But whichever one was the one, and I don't think it's Euphoria. I got to get the name. But it's the one. No, it was Meet the Grams. It was Meet the Grams. Because it was the one where he was talking specifically
to Adonis.
To Adonis, Drake's dad, his mom, and the fake daughter. Right? Which.
The alleged.
It seems like it's most likely a fake daughter.
Yeah, the alleged daughter we don't know about.
Yeah. So that happened, and I'm literally watching Academics do a live reaction at 1 o'clock in the morning when I have to get up for my flight at 2:30 in the morning and I'm laying on the floor of the room at my aunt's house because I don't want to lay next to my wife and wake her up with all this shit.
Yeah.
So then we got up, jumped on the plane, and I downloaded for people that weren't watching this in real time, Drake dropped his record and within an hour Kendrick dropped his response in less than an hour. So I was watching the Drake response.
That's crazy, dude.
And then I was like, all right, the Drake response is over. I'm watching the live reaction. I'm listening to it over and over and over again. And then I'm ready to go to bed. And then boom, there's a Kendrick response. Mm-hmm. So I didn't sleep. I was just up all night. And we got I downloaded the songs so that I could listen to them on the plane. Mm. So from Fort Lauderdale to LA, essentially, I was just running those two songs back.
Oh my god, crazy.
And to the point where my wife stopped listening with me. She was like, enough of this.
Little side note, Kendrick actually removed all copyrights so that everybody in the YouTube platform can review it and monetize it off of everything. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
Drake would never.
No, no, he's got, yeah.
So then what made it get crazier was I get to LA and I'm staying with my cousin who is one of the executive producers of TMZ.
Snitch.
No. So so I'm so if you watch TMZ, my cousin is Charles, the guy with the dreadlocks.
Very famous.
That's
I TMZ. See him all the time.
Yeah, he's watch TMZ there every day.
Yeah.
So actually, and the crazy part was this. I was super appreciative for him coming out to my show because he came to my show at the Laugh Factory and all that.
Awesome.
But he, because Harvey's not there this week, I guess. So he's like running the whole thing like by himself.
Damn.
But so he was very, very busy, but he took the time to come to the show. So I was appreciative that he came. But so I'm literally at his house, like with him, and he's in his, you know, at the table in the kitchen. Sitting on a bar stool, and he's writing the article about like the last diss record, and then Drake dropped another one. And he's like, "Oh shit, there's another one." So now he's sitting listening to that one.
Yeah.
And now he's got to write an article, and he's sending like he's getting emails and all this other stuff's going around. And then Kendrick drops again the next day. Like, so the entire weekend while I'm in LA, these diss tracks are dropping, and I just so happen to be hanging out with my cousin, who's the producer of TMZ. So he's getting, like, I'm hearing these songs within a minute and 30 seconds of them dropping, you know, because he's getting, like, he literally has staff that are, oh shit, you have to listen to this now as it comes out. So.
Wow.
No, it was crazy. And then the brutality of Kendrick Lamar's responses in LA, what they were doing on the radio in LA, what they were doing was they would play, you know, Drake has a lot of like love songs.
Mm-hmm.
So they would
certified lover boy,
certified pedophile. So to make it to do like a weird tongue in cheek, we're being fair, even though we're not being fair thing. Uh-huh. What they would do is they would play one of Drake's like softest love songs and then followed up with Kendrick's diss. So it seems like we're playing both artists, but we're making Drake look like the biggest pussy in the world as we play Kendrick's bomb after bomb after bomb. Dang.
Every bar that I've been to has played it at least once. They're not like us.
Yes.
Because it just slaps. Even if you're not paying attention to the lyrics, the beat by itself is amazing.
It's probably going to be my favorite song of the year. Well, so you know how like sometimes a song will trigger certain memories because of like where you were and the experience that you had or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was upstairs, and I guess I should intro this part. I was in LA to do Chocolate Sundays, which is the Sunday night black show at the Laugh Factory.
Nice.
And to be fair, it just so happened that I got booked to be on the one that was a part of the Netflix as a Joke festival.
So cool, man.
I don't know how I got chosen to be on that specific, because they moved my date.
Really?
Yeah, because I was supposed to go on, I think, the 12th, whatever next Sunday is.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they bumped me up to this one and put me on this lineup for the Netflix as a Joke festival.
Yeah, because Netflix as a Joke is no joke, dude.
Like, yeah, it's dope.
No, seriously, dude, though. Yeah, yeah.
The crazy thing about it was, if you look at
some dude on there.
Yeah. If you look at who was in LA for this, it was
Gary Oldham,
Cat Williams,
Kyle Grooms,
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't even started. Cat Williams, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Dion Cole, Jerry Seinfeld, Nate Bargatze, Burt Kreischer, Tony Hinchcliffe, Kevin Hart. I know Lunell was there. Donnell Rollins was there.
Didn't they all drop in from the Tom Brady roast?
Yeah, the Tom Brady roast.
And then that led out, and y'all had even more people flood into the. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Comedy fans in general, every one of them was in LA. Yeah.
It was, yeah, no, it was insane. It was.
Ugh.
Dang, I wish I could have.
Hot crowds, just like eating out of the palm of your hand?
Not eating out of the palm of your hand.
Chocolate Sundays, that's the black night, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. So funny enough for me, because black rooms are my actual weakest point.
Right.
So I made a bunch of adjustments. I told Tags that I wrote that day.
Nice.
Wow. Just to like, because
so it
I was
feels
like
fresh.
Yeah, well, not only that, but I was like, I have to take some of these jokes and turn the energy up on them, because in black rooms you can't my normal style of telling long stories with a big punchline at the end, first of all,
it works if you're Ali Sadiq.
Or
yeah,
well, also I had 3 minutes.
Oh shit!
So this is a
wow.
Yeah, I flew to LA to do 3 minutes.
Oh shit!
That's crazy.
Yeah, but on Netflix is a joke. So. Yeah.
So the way it works is you do a 3 minute audition. Mm-hmm. So this was during the pandemic. They actually have they were doing Zoom auditions.
Yeah.
They've ended that now, but they were so thank backed God. Up doing these Zoom auditions that I did my Zoom audition and passed in 2022.
Jeez.
And they gave me my date for originally May 12th, 2024.
Mm. Dang.
So then you get there, you do 3 minutes on the New Faces show at Chocolate Sundays at the Laugh Factory.
Okay.
Then based on your performance on that, they invite you back to do your what's called your graduation show.
Okay.
So if you do well at the initial audition, you then get sent to your first impressions. If you do well at the first impressions, you get sent to your graduation show. If you do well at the graduation show, you're passed at the club.
Okay.
So I did my 3 minutes.
That's a lot of pressure and a lot of people fighting for how many spots at the end?
Yeah.
One? Five?
I mean, a few, yeah.
Yeah. Not very many getting
so,
passed.
Yeah. So, again, I was like, this is one of the most famous black rooms in the country. And black rooms is kind of my weak spot. I need to make the necessary adjustments.
Yeah.
So what was really cool about it was it's weird. This last month, everything has kind of fallen in place. Mm-hmm. It's been,
you've had a
went
lot of
from open hosting for Donnell Rollins to the following weekend, I'm at the Laugh Factory for Netflix as a Joke
with 20 of your heroes.
Yeah. So, no, it was crazy. I got to meet Tony Rock.
Nice. Yeah, I saw Chris that Rock's picture. Brother.
Yeah, yeah. My wife took the worst picture in the world.
Shout out to Miss Robinson. Yeah.
So it was just an amazing experience because it wasn't just the fact that I was on a show. The entire city of L.A. is sort of taken over by this festival. There's 35 venues involved. So there's little pop-up comedy shows all over L.A. And then these big comics are coming in town. Cat Williams is shooting a live special. John Mulaney is shooting a live special. There's the roast of Tom Brady with all the biggest comics in the world on it. I mean, I'm thinking about going. Not probably thinking about it. I'll go next year, whether I'm performing or not.
Yeah, I'm going.
Just to be in LA while that's happening.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yeah, let's go.
Because it's
by then we'll be more than ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I don't know about you.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. By then I'll be more than ready.
Preacher would do really well at Chocolate Sundays. Yeah, have fun. Yeah, yeah. And then so cool. I
could be the token white guy. I like playing that card. It's fun.
So what was fun about it at Chocolate Sundays was the culmination of the skill sets that I've been working on over the last few years, kind of coming together all in one. Because again, I was like, all right, I have 3 minutes. I need to make an impression and do it fast. And I opened with the 3-day weekend joke because that always does well.
Right.
And then right off the 3-day weekend joke, I picked a white guy in the crowd, like one of like the four white guys in the room. I did literally 10 seconds of crowd work with him, made like one joke about him, and then went straight into my white guys in a trench coat, because I used him to crowd work and then funneled that crowd work with him into my joke about white people.
It's that culmination you're talking about.
Yeah,
man.
it's
crowd work being one of your strongest traits,
which it wasn't before. You know, crowd work is something that I literally did not do at all.
It was just
and developed
really
over the last.
Fucking cool that you squeezed crowd work into a 3-minute
set
and made it flow into your next joke.
Because one of the things that's weird is like, how do I? Again, I have a weird. I guess I have the same problem Drake has. Where like, you can't
pause. Wait, wait.
Where like, no, I just people can smell the suburbs on me. Like can just smell it. Like I talk like even when I listen back to this podcast, I sound like a middle-aged white guy on the podcast.
Yeah,
that's just how my voice sounds.
Yeah.
So I was like, so for example, I went out and bought a pair of Jordans specifically to do Chocolate Sundays.
Oh, my God. Typical white guy move, because I would have done the same damn thing.
I haven't owned a pair of Jordans literally in like 15 years. And I was like, I'm going to go do Chocolate Sundays. Let me buy a pair of Jordans so I blend in.
I'm going to put these New Balances away.
Pull up in a turtleneck and a chain.
So,
man, that's funny.
But to know like, all right, how am I going to do this 3 minutes? Yeah. And it's like, I'm going to take every skill that I've developed and just throw it all out.
I'm surprised you didn't dre it up.
Wait. We did a
we little spikes. That ain't long enough.
I probably did. I think I did 4 jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 minutes is so fast. It feels insane.
Do you think it helps a little bit that we had that struggle with the Daytona Melbourne thing where you went out and did your 5 and went, oh fuck, I need to fix this because a short amount of time with my material, this is where, not saying that that was the whole thing, but you used a little bit to grow from?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Not to continue to be shitty, but I wasn't going to bother preparing for that.
Right.
This I was going to prepare
it
for
showed
regardless.
On stage though.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You went, so, okay, 5, I thought 5 minutes was going to be cake, and then, you know, they...
5 minutes is what you need to audition anywhere, so it's like, it's got to be tight.
But to be honest, like...
You went from putting 3 jokes into 5 minutes to 4 into 3, so...
Yeah, but I mean, I still look back on that, and I was like, nah, Kevin was going to take that regard. Like, they...
Oh, my God.
They were...
Yeah, he
they
had
were
that.
Eating that meth material up.
Kevin, I
speak for yourself. If I went
I don't know,
Kevin,
man.
I'd murder.
I don't know, man.
No, dude.
No, I don't know, man, because nah, Kevin really brought the heat. I think he would have watched anybody on that stage that night, man. Except maybe Sareth, because Sareth was in the fucking shit, too, man.
You went first,
crazy.
Didn't you?
No, I went last.
You went last? Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah,
no.
Bro.
You went before Kevin. He went before Kevin.
I thought he did. I thought he did.
No.
You went absolutely last,
that's
but you
what
did
I mean.
Go before
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah. Whether
yeah,
or not,
yeah.
Okay, that's, if I'd have went after him, oh, it would have been easy.
Yeah.
But I also knew, honestly...
You'd have been able to play off his heat, for sure.
But honestly, as soon as I started and I felt how lukewarm they were,
yeah,
I was like, nah, this isn't going to work. And then sure enough, Kevin went up and he did the first...
Meth on assault rim
thing. And they were like, and I was like, oh, this is... Honestly, I don't want
to
be.
All right, yeah, let's keep going. It's just like we've had this conversation. Sorry to dig it back up again.
Yes and no. That was a good experience because that was my first time doing less than 10 minutes in a long time.
So it was
time.
Good to get that out of the way real
to
quick
like,
and then focus
oh, shit,
on three.
Yeah, I have to make major adjustments to be able to just go up there and do 3 minutes. But at the same time also, because my wife kept asking me, she was like, so do you have a plan? I was like, no. Because... to me, you can't plan until you're in the room and you feel the energy.
Sure.
Once I got there and then they were like, you're going up second. And I was like, all right. So that's going to require a certain energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the audience isn't going to be settled in to, you know.
Feel bad for the guy that went first.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, it's again, it was one of those things where he had a decent set, but I woke the room up after him. But that was because I had the benefit of being able to watch his set and go, this is going to require some crowd work. Like you can just feel the energy in the room. It's like, nah, they're not. They don't want to hear anything. And then also to give you an idea of the energy in the room at the Laugh Factory that again, it's one of those things where I just have to chalk it up to a blessing. Mm-hmm. Like, because again, what are the chances that I'm in LA for Netflix is a joke? While Kendrick is doing all this crazy shit, like, so the show starts and they open with They Not Like Us.
Mm.
And in the Laugh Factory, the DJ is above, like, there's the showroom and then there's the balcony. There's like a wraparound balcony up top. Yeah. So it's actually not a big room, but they pack a shit ton of people because there's the floor in front of you plus a balcony above
it's
it.
It's definitely not a big room.
Yeah. And it's like, the room is almost a cube. So, like, the people on the balcony are, like, still close to the stage. Like, they pack a ton of people all around you in a, you know, 180-degree thing all around you. Mm-hmm. And the DJ is, again, it's one of those things that we have to, I don't know what we have to do to get something like that. What I really want, do you know who DJ Songy is? Mm-hmm. I want to do a show where he is the house DJ. So bad here in Brevard because what I think most comics don't run into is that type of energy where you have a DJ that is going to turn the room to 11 before the show starts at all.
Yeah.
So I swear to God, and this is how I knew Drake was losing. they hit. Because, again, while I was out there, I was like, I wonder how this is playing back in Florida. I don't know. But here in L.A., they're going ape shit.
Nobody's bumping any Drake songs.
So they literally, he plays They not Like Us. And in the Laugh Factory, during the Netflix is a Joke comedy festival, people get up out their seats and are crip walking in the aisles of the Laugh Factory. As like, and the Laugh Factory has an incredible sound system.
Yeah.
So as the walls are just pounding with the bass of this song, people are in the aisles, people are in the balcony, crip walking in the balcony. Like it was like, okay, this is Drake is done. Like this is amazing. I don't care what the rest of the country feels about this.
No.
If you were in LA while that shit was happening,
dude,
Kendrick is
the rest
king.
Of the country's doing the same thing, yeah, dude.
It was just like, it was crazy.
Ugh.
So, and then the thing I'm super excited about was I got off stage and so Kyle, the other thing, again, this all just kind of came together.
Yeah.
what are the chances that I'm on the show that Kyle Grooms is headlining? Mm-hmm. So a Florida comic that I've worked with,
that you've put on,
that I've put on shows and been able to put some money in his pocket and, like, you know, reciprocate the, you know, beneficial relationship of working with another comic.
Right.
He just happens to be the guy headlining the show that I'm on.
That's so cool.
And then I get there, and who's there but Hennessy Williams. I don't know if you know him. He's a South Florida comic.
Hmm.
Haitian guy from Miami.
Okay.
That he just got back from headlining the Bahamas gig that I want to do for Comedy Zone.
All right.
And he wasn't even on the show. He just showed up to hang out.
That's
great. He just happened. He came to L.A. for the festival.
Yeah.
And showed up to the show. Didn't even know I was going to be there. And I saw him posting. He was like posing in front of the. They had a at the Palladium Hotel. They had a big Netflix is a joke like physical display in mm-hmm. front of the hotel. And he was like doing poses and shit in front of the Netflix is a joke sign. And I saw it on Facebook. I was like, wait, you're here? And he was like, you're here? And I was like, yeah, I'm in LA.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, so just to be able to be in that environment and still bump into people that I know was just amazing. And then there were certain comics that I also knew, not in person, but from social media kind of thing. And I did well enough in my 3 minutes that when I got off stage, multiple comics, like multiple LA comics, were like, who are you? That was good shit.
Yeah.
So I made an impression. And then on my way out the door, Lonnie, the lady that runs the booking,
mm-hmm.
I came up to her and I was like, hey, I was told that, you know, if you pass, you get some sort of email that says you're supposed to come back to do the graduation show. Like, what do I need to do? And she was like, we've already decided you're coming back.
Oh, so shit.
Just, yeah, keep a lookout. You're going to get an email with some dates or whatever. Yeah.
Awesome.
Man, I got to get out there.
Yeah. So, I'm just super grateful that it was a crazy opportunity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Chocolate Sundays was a big enough opportunity on its own.
Mm.
The fact that there are 52 Chocolate Sunday shows a year and they moved me to the one that just happened to be during the Netflix is a Joke festival is just like, again, just could not be more grateful. It was an amazing experience. And then my wife, so funny enough, my wife is not going to be able to come. And I felt really bad because my wife's always wanted to go to L.A. That's like, we've known each other since high school, and that was something that she said to me while we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually don't really know why we never just hopped on a plane and went. We just never got around to it. I mean, we've been to Africa, so it's not like we don't travel.
Mm-hmm.
But we just never got around to it. And she actually got laid off right before the trip was happening. And she's a nurse practitioner, so she got a new job because it's...
Yeah, nurses the demand super, is high. Yeah.
She got a new job immediately, and luckily her new job started like a couple days after my show.
Nice.
So I was like, let's just book these flights where the first job where you got laid off ends, because they were closing the office that she worked at, and you just come to LA with me, and we come back the day before your new job starts, and then the next, you know, you can have that experience.
Double down as a little vacation for the two of you. Yeah.
So we did, so while I was there, again, because I stayed with my cousin, I didn't have to pay for a hotel.
Mm.
So I spent the money, I rented a convertible Mustang.
Nice.
And we went first of all, we just kind of went around, but then we did one, we took a day and drove the Pacific Coast Highway. So it's
very cool. Just like, right on the rocks.
One of the most beautiful. It's the most beautiful drive I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
You drive right along the coast from LA all the way to Malibu and then turn around and do the same run all the way back to LA.
So cool.
Yeah. So that was awesome. And then.
But after, wait, there's more.
After my, after my show, again, I have the convertible Mustang. Yeah. We're riding around LA with the top down. And, you know, we've been hearing about the homeless encampments, right?
Uh-huh.
So my wife is super into books. Wherever we go, she has to find, like, an antique bookstore that, you know, she goes to, you know, find cool books.
Yeah.
So there's one in downtown L.A. that she wanted to go to. I was like, all right, let's go. So we drive down there, and in I'm talking about like the business district, downtown LA. They're just Walmart tents, like Ozark Trail tents, just on the sidewalk in the middle of downtown. Homeless people just living in tents in the middle of downtown LA.
Fuck.
We park at this parking garage, and we're walking to the bookstore. There's a homeless guy laying on the on the sidewalk. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's actually not funny. It's horrifying. He's laying on the sidewalk, and he has like a piece of cardboard laid out in front of him, and he has all of his crack paraphernalia, just like on display. So he's got like dude, two crack pipes. He's got his lighter. He's got his spoon that he can, you know, heat up to do whatever he's doing with the spoon. He's got his baggie with his crack. Like he's just he's got his
anti-drug like, law thing they got going on in California.
They got everything going on in California.
It's not working.
There's a minimum that you got to hit for theft for them to even pursue.
Yeah, so so people
leaving, they
under a thousand, right, or something like that.
Yeah. So what people figured out is they don't prosecute theft under a certain number.
Right.
So like, let's say the number is $1,000.
They hold somebody up. Give me $999, bitch.
I mean, no, honestly. So they're running into stores. They'll and
carjack
stealing.
You one tire at a time.
Yeah. They're literally going into stores and stealing. Like, so let's say the number is
come thousand. Back and get your transmission later. Man.
How much is that watch? $1,050. Damn. What if I break a link off?
It was, yeah, no, it was.
You giving niggas change back, nigga.
Here's 20 back. Oh, that's hilarious. Change back on a robbery is crazy. Write that shit down.
Oh, I'm taking that. That's mine. Everything we just said is mine. Y'all heard it live.
I probably couldn't pull it off anyways.
Yeah, you can't say no, giving niggas change
racist
back.
Racist ass white boy.
Matt's like, preach that I can say giving niggas a change back. Out.
It don't look good for me saying it. That's for
oh
sure.
My God.
So that guy was on the. Yeah, so that was, we did that. We went to the bookstore. And what I like about it is every time we go to these bookstores, she looks for these antique books. They always have a record section. So I look for comedy vinyl records. I bought a George Carlin, a Red Fox, and a Jimmy J.J. Walker record, which I'm super excited about because Jimmy Walker is doing which one is that? Christy B's Club.
Nice.
I think in a couple weeks.
Very cool.
So
shout out Christy B Comedy Club.
So I think I'm just gonna go up there and have him sign my album.
Oh, dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So, I bet he would be pretty stoked that you did that too, just because how many people are gonna roll up
with a vinyl like the 80s
at that club specifically too. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think. Was it him? I want to say I have two copies of his record, but I don't think I got it signed when I worked with him. I think I didn't have it that night or something like that. So yeah, I'm hoping to get that signed. If I get that signed, especially because I worked with him. Mm-hmm. What I think I'm going to do is I'll get that record signed, and then I'll take the photo that I have with him from when I worked with him, have it framed with the signed record in like one display frame thing. So I can hang, because I want to start getting those and hanging them, because I'm starting to work with some fucking cool people, you know. So I want to start collecting all that stuff. Then the other thing I do is wherever we go, I try to find a blank notebook. It's like a journal. So like I have one from we traveled to New York. I have one from when we traveled to Minnesota.
You just get as much you can into that blank notebook during your trip, and then that's that trip's notebook?
No, so that I just use them as the so like in my house, I have a drawer that has, I'm not kidding, probably a dozen journals in it. And out of those dozen, probably six of them are cover to cover with jokes.
Wow.
Now, a lot of it's me repeating the same joke over and over, rewriting it, and sure. A lot of it's throwaway stuff, so it's not, you know. But I probably have 2 hours worth of shit in all these notebooks.
It's panning for gold. That's what comedy writing is, man.
So one of the things that I do actually when I'm that I'm doing, you know, now when I have writer's block, mm-hmm. is I'll just go through those notebooks and I'll find so many jokes I completely forgot that I wrote, mm-hmm. and they just didn't hit back when I wrote them because I didn't have the skill set to really make those jokes work. And I've started to bring some of those jokes back to help fill out, you know, the time now.
Yeah.
Because I even working with Mary Ellen Hooper, I was talking to her about the cruise ships. And she was like, yeah, the thing with the cruise ships, it's hard on new comics because they want you to have four different half hours. Mm. And they don't want you to be repeating jokes. So it's 2 hours. It's an hour dirty and an hour clean.
Okay.
You know? I got the hour dirty for sure. Mm. The hour clean is what I'm working on now.
Yeah. And the hour dirty doesn't necessarily have to be like, nut, come, fuck
you. No. It's just adult it's just, hour. Yeah. And then the problem that I'm going to run into, because my plan with the cruise ships is to work the cruise ships until I get fired, which I think will happen very fast.
Yeah, you make that bag real quick. Just, yeah.
Because, you know, because even my, like, my material, I just talk so much about, like, race and like,
and that's not okay.
Income inequality and
on cruise ships
and class. They're very like, because it's weird what people get offended by.
Yeah,
like, I mean, one of the things that I noticed, even working, like, I'm trying to think,
I guess I haven't seen a stand-up show on a cruise ship, but it's like,
yeah, it's like fart jokes and like, yeah, it's, yeah, very much so that sort of thing. God. So if you get up there and you start, because again, people don't get on cruises to have introspective conversations about deep shit. They go on cruises to chuckle and be drunk.
Yeah, and then you go to a comedy show on a cruise.
Yeah.
And you're like, meh.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. Still.
So I'm pretty confident that once I start doing cruise ships, I'm going to get fired in succession pretty quickly. But I definitely want the experience.
For sure.
So I'm working on that clean hour so that I can have that separation thing. And then what I'm really hoping to do is this Netflix is a joke thing is my biggest credit to date.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Like, by a lot. So every booker that I've been messaging that has not booked me is going to get an update of, hey, just got back from Netflix is a joke special.
You can put Don't Tell on there too, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can put Don't Tell on there.
That's my credit.
Dude, so yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to send all that stuff out.
That's my biggest credit to date. Yeah. Don't Tell.
Yeah.
Don't Tell and Space Coast.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Just Don't Tell. You know, yeah. You don't got to tell nobody, you know, where.
Haven't got my special yet, but, you know, as heard on Don't Tell.
Yeah.
Seen if you were there.
Yeah, we don't really talk about it.
Yeah. So I'm going to have my my graphic that I send out that's got all of the logos of all the companies and stuff. So I'm going to have that remade and add the Netflix is a joke festival and the Comedy Cellar logo added to it and the Laugh Factory logo added to it and the Netflix is a joke logo added to it.
So cool.
Yeah, so it
that is so
really
fire.
Starts to, yeah,
don't need nothing
dude.
Else after that.
Yeah,
seriously.
Well, because what happened was
start getting booked.
People see the right logos and that's
right?
it.
Yeah, well, because I was I can say it because it's not like a bad thing. I've been trying to get into LOL, mm-hmm. To headline LOL.
Yep.
And Mike Lee was explaining this was early on, and honestly, this conversation with Mike Lee is what inspired me to make that original graphic in the first place with all the logos of everything I've been on.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to Mike Lee and he was like, well, like, I know you have the hour, mm-hmm. but do you have the credits to bring people in? Because no one knows who you are. So they're really going to be going based on mm-hmm. your picture yeah. and credits, you know? And I was like, well, damn, I have, you know, decent credits. But then I realized, who am I to be upset about that? Because Mike Lee's a club owner, and if I'm not bragging about my credits, how is he ever going to know?
Right. Yeah.
So I immediately went on Fiverr and had somebody make this graphic with the logos that's on it now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have that updated, and it's going to look nuts when it's updated with these, you know, sort of bigger things.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, like, even like the CW17 is one of the logos on there. Xfinity is one of the logos on there. Amazon Prime. Like, looking back on it now, like, I've been on Afrotainment, which is on Xfinity. I've been on CW17 Jacksonville. I've been on Amazon Prime with the Underground Comics of Atlanta. I've done the Comedy Cellar, the Laugh Factory in L.A. I've done Chocolate Sundays. I've done the Netflix is a Joke Festival. I've done multiple Don't Tells all over the state of Florida. I've hosted for Donnell Rollins on the road. I mean, you know, I'm starting to...
You're starting to be able to get picky about what credits you use and don't use.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to have that graphic made. I'm going to have that graphic updated this week. Yeah. So that I can start sending it out. Because I want it to be overwhelming. I want people to look at the amount of logos and go, holy shit. Hmm. You know? Then I think I need to also put the credits on my website. Hmm. Actually, let me pull up my freaking website now that I'm thinking about it. Because I have a page on my web that's dedicated to my website has, let me see. And that's the other thing I have to finish while, that again, I've learned that I've had to finish. The store page on my website. So my website has home, which is kind of like an overview, then it has the comedian, the producer, the podcaster, and the store. So the comedian is just basically an ad for, hey, if you want to book me, it's got my calendar on there, and then it just has a short bio. So what I need to do, instead of this calendar with a short bio, I need to make this page a full-on bragging about my credits page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, list every single credit, you know, what company it was with, you know, the name of the show, and all that. The photos from the Don't Tells, the photos from the Laugh Factory, photos from the Comedy Cell, like all of that shit's got to get dumped. Like, it needs to be a thing where it's overwhelming when you go to that page of like, oh, this guy's a professional. He's been doing it for a long time because he's been everywhere.
You're still doing your whole site yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm doing the whole site myself. But I'm doing it on GoDaddy, so it's simple.
Fair enough.
The producer page is all about me booking shows and my company, Clear Vision Productions. But the podcaster has the Funny Style Podcast just embedded into the website. So when you click the podcaster, it literally just pulls up the Funny Style Podcast and all the episodes are loaded into the website. And the store is, I need Eric Erlacher already agreed to do this with me.
Nice.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up, he's going to help me set up my like Shopify store and set up the drop shipping so that I can have merch just shipped out directly from the website.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Eric Erlacher.
Yeah. Big shout out.
He's agreed to help me with that. So I'm super grateful of him pointing me in the right direction.
Nice to have somebody with that expertise, man.
Yeah, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get, I've been writing down, I've been going through my jokes because a lot of my jokes are sort of longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been going through my jokes and figuring out what jokes are short enough to go on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then what graphic design would go well with this joke. And then I'm just gonna use Fiverr and have a t-shirt designer design like five or six t-shirt designs so that when I sit down with Eric, we upload everything, set up everything. So now it's just an active running store with multiple different t-shirt options right off the bat. And then I'm going to have, again, I have this pop-up banner here that I found a website that they can change the banner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have the QR code. I already have the QR code made that just goes straight to the store.
Yeah.
So now when I go to shows, instead of being that guy that physically lugs merch around, I'd have this pop-up banner with a QR code on it that goes straight to the online store.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if people want to do that, great. You know? And then I got to get a photo made for the back cover of my album so that I can have, because my album was done digitally, so there was no reason for a back cover.
Mm-hmm.
So we never designed one. And I was like, I was talking to the people at Comedy Dynamics, and they were like, in order for us to make you a vinyl copy of your album, we need a back cover.
Yeah.
So I got to have a back cover designed. And then once I have that designed, then that'll be my physical merch that I bring.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll just sell. I mean, the actual vinyl album cost me $10 a piece. So I think I'll sell them for $30.
Okay.
And then everyone who buys one, I'll rip it out the package, sign it. So everybody gets a signed copy of my album. And anybody who wants t-shirts can go on the website.
Hell yeah.
So it's just this last month has been like, okay, the next level, I'm getting closer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting dangerously close to the next level. And I need to prepare all of the little details so that I'm ready, you know, as these opportunities fall in my lap.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't so. Forget about us funny people with no credits.
No, yeah.
Trying to ride these coattails.
Yeah. Speaking of credits, this motherfucker headlined the Dunes last Saturday.
Yeah, that was dope.
Headline. How much time you do?
I did 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, 40 minutes. I only did 40 because that lineup was a little
heavy. I'm going to make that adjustment. Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to put more than one guest spot on that show ever again because I thought, like, I did about 10 or 11 up top because I was trying to account for the fact that we had some guest spots. Two of the guest spots didn't show up, and at that point, I should have been like, all right, one guest spot. Because
yeah.
I did preach a disservice by stretching that lineup. We already started they late because people showed up.
Yeah.
People showed up almost a half hour after we were supposed to start the show. Yeah. So I started about 20 minutes late just to let people show up. And then a couple more people trickled in during my set. So I don't know if it's a matter of bumping that time frame up. Because like starting it later is how we get more people in.
Yeah.
That is true.
But also, the later we start, the later it goes. And, I mean, Preach killed it up until the last 10 minutes, and it was just because they were tired.
Yeah.
They were tired. Like,
but
I was working by that last
10 Everybody minutes. Stayed. Everybody was stoked to be there. Everybody wanted pictures with the headliner. Like, it was awesome, man.
It was pretty cool.
But to say something that doesn't get said enough, you have developed, Preach, you've developed astonishingly fast.
Drastically fast.
I mean, most people do not have the 40 minutes to an hour within a year and a half. Because you're at a year and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly,
yep.
Incredibly fast.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Big stuff.
Yeah, most comics take 5 years to get where you are.
Yeah.
In terms that's of your ability
much what
on
I've
stage.
Heard,
so yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, man. I was able to use, I took advantage of the fact that we had a packed out show. We had a lot of big laughs, so we got good photos, yeah. Like people laughing hard. I went around with my phone and just took a bunch of B-roll footage. Like I walked the audience and held it steady and had like a shot of the whole audience and them laughing and then like a roll up a Preach. I had shots from the back because we're able to get behind the stage and get like a nice pan shot of the audience and like the back of Preach. Like, and then we, Caroline Post, by the way,
she
I don't know if you've, holy shit, she
honestly,
was amazing.
Honestly, if I get that show again, it'll just be you, her, Kyle, then
that's
me.
It. That's all we need. That's all we need.
She murdered.
She crushed.
She did
oh,
crowd
was so
work
cool.
for half her time.
Yeah. It was so cool. She's coming back. She's coming back to headline that show for sure.
Yeah.
So shout out Caroline Post. That was amazing. Heather put me on to her.
You know what's funny? Really quickly.
Yeah.
So CP Post is what she used to go as.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And the problem she was running into is, and Facebook has gotten so stupid.
Yeah.
But I guess CP is short.
That's kiddie porn.
Yes. So what was happening was,
oh no,
she said. Her comedy name was CP Post, and people would go to search for her,
oh,
and Facebook would go, you're not allowed to search kitty porn on Facebook.
Posts, like, posts of kitty porn?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit, dude.
Disaster.
So oh, she had my to, God.
She was getting niggas hemmed up.
That's crazy.
So she had to change her website, her logo, like
oh,
everything.
Oh, my God.
I did a show with her in Daytona, and she was telling me this. I was like, this is the biggest disaster. And it's such an innocent thing. But
seriously.
She should have spelled her name with a K or something.
That'd be K kid.
KP.
Yeah.
I mean, still, but it wouldn't. The actual acronym for
K
child
is
porn
kid.
Is CP.
C is child.
But K is kid and C is child, so she's screwed.
No, she's screwed, but CP is the actual
acronym. Just Caroline. Yeah. It's just got to be Caroline Comedy. No, not Caroline's Comedy, because Caroline's is a club. Yeah. Jeez, man.
It was a disaster. I heard about that from someone. Someone told me that.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was.
You know who else brought the heat? Duncan. Duncan did a 5-minute spot and
Duncan murdered.
J? Yeah, Duncan J.
Awesome.
He brought the heat, and that was like
5 minutes.
He did 5 minutes and just end to end crushed it for 5 minutes. Yeah. Just kind of gave the audience a little preview because I got him headlining the show June 1st.
Did he do new stuff?
He did some new stuff, some old stuff, but he just felt the crowd out and he fucking nailed it. I mean, again, for somebody with 20 years experience, he fucking showed it on stage, which is really fucking cool. So I'm looking forward to June 1st with him headlining.
Yeah.
But Preach and I kind of put our heads together for the marketing on this, because this is the first one that we really packed out hard. And one of the first things we did was stretch out the span of time that we are advertising.
Was it just a bunch of basketball fans?
It was, yeah, just a bunch of basketball fans. They hated me. They're like, who's this short white guy? I'm like, he didn't play basketball.
We're here for the LeBron memes.
But we started the ads 3 weeks in advance.
Oh, wow.
And instead of going, all right, this is how much I have in my ad revenue, I'm going to drop all of it on 3 weeks, I spaced it a week at a time.
Mm.
So I did like 20 for the first week. And then before it lapsed, I boosted it 1 week and another $20. Okay. And for whatever reason, that exponentially increases the reach, as opposed to doing 60 over three.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was 20, 20, 20. And then that last week, I just put a bunch more into it. I did, you know, the amount of money I put into the hard copy flyers on site. I know those got some, but we need to start really pushing the promo code. Because then we'll be able to track where the tickets are coming from a little bit easier. So that's the only adjustment I think we're going to make. But as far as every single one of these shows, they're going to be 3 weeks in advance every single time. I'm just putting that into my ad budget. And this week it really paid off. I was able to cover him for some of the money he dropped on ads on top of what I already pay my headliners.
Covered everything, man.
And I still walked away with some
one
profit.
One thing I did too was I dropped in 2 months before and did a guest spot at his show, and I just did crowd work and just killed for like 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And I took a video and used that
as the promo
for me headlining. So so no, I didn't burn any jokes, and then everyone gets to see, oh, this guy, you know, he does crowd work. They get to see a little preview, and I did that. Low key, Duncan should have done that, and you should probably drop in and do a guest spot.
Yeah.
And do crowd work. And
now that I got the B-roll footage from this last show with a packed out crowd, it shows the audience, it shows the stage, it shows the comedians. I had one little reel that I put on stories that kind of showcased it a little bit. And man, it looked really fucking good. Like just the pan and the shot. And then, so I'm going to piece all that together. I talked to Eric a little bit about how exactly to put it together to make sure it captures the audience faster. So the flyer or the time, the date, and the location need to be right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Like with maybe some B-roll footage in the background. And then do a couple shots of the crowd laughing, a couple shots of a comedian, you know, being crazy on stage. And then right back to one more time, this is where it's at, this is what time, this is the date, everything. So I'm gonna be doing that edit, and hopefully that by itself will draw a lot more attention. It looks way more professional than just throwing a flyer up and going, hey, come out, you know. So yeah, we're making advancements. For sure.
The next thing I'm actually and I got inspired also talking to my uncle just about some sketch ideas and stuff that I have, and then he liked the concept for the road comic.
Okay.
So I gotta get on that. I mean, the next thing I have to do, honestly, again, just it's all stuff that we all already know.
Yeah.
But again, as I get closer and closer and closer to this other level, it's like, all right, the way that I can be at this level permanently. Mm. Is building my own audience to where I don't have to. Because, like, right now, as awesome as it was doing that stuff with Donna Rollins, I'm only in that position because Donna Rollins, on the off chance, took a chance on me and let me be there.
Yeah.
You know? There's nothing that I've built so far. I've built the talent-wise and the skill-wise as a comic.
So that you could come through and deliver on that promise that, hey, I'll do this.
But I've done nothing to build an audience to where I can command my entrance in these rooms off of my own merit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you watch That's
what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone like a Cam, I mean, Cam's at 350,000 followers now.
Mm-hmm. So cool, man.
Under a year, bro.
AJ Wilkerson.
AJ Wilkerson, Tampa, right?
Yep. Tampa comic, really funny. Right at 500,000 followers. So they're able to walk into these rooms on their own accord, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, my strategy on my end is clearly starting to work where I'm getting these opportunities the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
Just through, you know, becoming a killer and then just proving myself whenever these opportunities come.
Yep.
But if I can do that plus the new 2024 way, I mean, because you think about it, there's so many comics out there that build, like, again, Cam's a perfect example of someone who is actually funny and blew up on social media. That mm-hmm. combination is deadly.
Yeah.
Because so many comics blow up on social media,
and then they suck when you get
to the show.
Yeah.
You know? So I've developed the show. Now I got to develop a following mm-hmm. so that I can now, you know, hit the country on my own merit.
Yeah.
So, and I think the key to that now is honestly going to be a videographer. I think that's going to be the next step.
Yeah.
Once you
start putting that professional looking content, people look at it immediately. As soon as it comes across their screen, they're like, oh shit, who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. So,
instead of like some cell phone footage.
My goal, and that's why I'm working on my website mm-hmm. to get my website to a point, because again, my point with the website is, and this is the reason why I went with doing the website myself.
Have you talked to Gene Newberry or Chris Newberry?
Chris Newberry, yeah.
With Websites for Comedians about like numbers at least.
No, because I want to have complete control over it myself. Because I want it to be something that I can.
I think he's pretty flexible.
Do on my own.
Yeah,
Chris is pretty cool. Shout out to Chris Newberry.
Yeah, shout out Chris. Yeah, Newberry,
I'd love to talk to him. Actually, honestly, I'd love to have him on the podcast so we can advertise his website creation for comics.
Yeah, hey Chris, if you listen.
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely have him up here.
But yeah, I would definitely at least have the conversation with him because he's such a fan and he seems very flexible with the whole thing that I think he would make it to where you had full oversight of everything before it went live and then he just kind of keeps it going for you and it kind of takes some of the pressure off your plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I'll talk to him about it for sure.
Yeah, talk numbers because he's also talking about like deals as a comic if you're advertising for him and like working things out. Yeah, he knows we're all broke, dude. Yeah. So at least a conversation for sure. Chris Newberry.
So what was I saying? Yeah, so I want, and this goes back to the freaking van conversation.
Yeah.
I want to build all of the infrastructure so that once I start going out more, when I arrive, people are like, I want it to feel like this guy's already famous. I'm just the idiot who's never heard of him.
Yeah.
You know, like, what rock have I been under that I don't know about this guy?
Yeah.
And that's how I want comedy club owners to feel when I show up. I want to show up, and the club owner goes, who on my staff is dropping the ball that I'm just now hearing about this guy?
Yeah.
That's what I want, you know? So
I like how, like, for a second, the beginning of starting that topic, he some of his PTSD showed through of Brian just bullying him about the van. He's like, I know I've said this a bunch of times. We're both like, we're listening. We're here. Yeah. Brian's here in spirit going, oh, my God, the van.
Well, no, because, I mean, the first thing I'm going to do with the van, honestly, is I'm going to hit Austin a bunch. Yeah. The first thing I'm going to do with that van is run to Austin.
Yeah.
And build a name for myself in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think if I lean on at this point we have a lot of contacts in Austin.
Yeah.
And contacts that are in great position in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it would take that long to get out in Austin and develop to where I could get paid work in Austin.
And not just contacts that we've met in passing.
Like these people are contacts
we've built a relationship with here over before years. They moved. Yeah.
So hopefully I can get out to Austin because what I'm trying to get few cities that I can go to
mm-hmm.
where I can have assured money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like if I know, all right, I'm going to go to Austin and all the money for gas I'm going to make in Austin in the first two nights,
mm-hmm.
then I might stop in Panama City. Might stop in Mobile, Alabama on the way. Mm-hmm. Might stop and do some spots in New Orleans on the way.
Yeah, we met that dude from New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly.
Moon Room.
Might stop and do, you know, spots in Houston on the way, you know, whatever. Because I know once I get to Austin, I'm going to make the money necessary to cover my expenses, you know. So once I do that, because again, the van also means I don't have to stay in a hotel. Mm. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to reduce my out expenditures as much as humanly possible so that I can afford to go out more.
Yeah.
You know? So Richmond, Virginia is another one I'm about to super aggressively pursue.
Nice.
Doing shit in Richmond, Virginia, because my grandparents' house is there. So yeah. I have a free. And to be honest, what I want to be able to do, Richmond, Virginia is one of those places where I want to do like the funny style takeover type stuff mm-hmm. at places, because I have an entire house where everyone can stay.
Nice.
So if I can bring 9 comics up there with me, it'll be fine because mm-hmm. I have a place to stay.
Yeah.
So I want to do that for sure. And yeah, just get back to. I know I'm rambling, but
you're good.
Just get back to, again, aggressively pursuing the next step.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to stop doing a lot of, oh shit, I got to. I just remembered a gig that I booked that I did not put in my calendar.
Uh-oh.
And I don't remember what the date is, so I got to look at the phone to make sure I put that in there.
Uh-oh.
All
right, while you're doing that, yeah. we're going to do a quick review here. We've covered comedians headlining over the weekend. We've covered Netflix as a joke, and we'd covered people getting robbed. And I feel like if we put all those things together, on Netflix, a comedian performed over the weekend, and I feel like robbed us all of a really good comedy special. Now, before I say anything else, I love Cat Williams. He is one of my absolute all-time favorites.
Shout out to Cat Williams.
Hands down.
Oh, boy.
But Chris was shitting on fucking Dave Attell for some open mic material, and then Cat Williams comes through and knocks all that shit out of the park, man. He did an Aaron Paul joke. No, not Aaron Paul from Fast and Furious. Aaron Paul, one of our open micers, did a joke about pansexuals and pots and pans, and fucking Cat Williams did that shit, and I was like, no, he did not.
Is he serious? Half the crowd said the punchline.
Oh, God.
That's the crazy thing about the live special. You can hear what the crowd is saying.
Yeah.
A lot of them were just yelling stuff out. Oh, man.
And then also, Aaron Paul, we all know you're no Cat Williams. I love you, dude. I hope you come back to the scene because we miss you out here. But sorry to like shit on the joke, but Cat Williams should be delivering shit. Yeah,
Aaron Paul, you thought Aaron of the Paul, same
yo,
joke as
you
Cat
and
Williams.
Cat Williams got the same mind, way. Dude. You're on the right path. Get back out here, dude.
I just switch up the cadence.
But just like, hacky, low hanging fruit.
Honestly,
shit.
What Cat did was he spent more time trying to say stuff in a funny way than saying funny stuff.
Right.
He did, really what he did. He was all doing his little exaggerations of his voice and like, bro.
Stuff that everybody missed from the other stuff, but he was doing it too much.
He was doing that long, like that
corny
whole
ass Nick Cannon has a bunch of babies. Like, everybody's done that joke.
Bro.
He covered the Montgomery Brawl, which everybody did when it happened.
Yeah.
Everyone's covered.
Oh my God, that was so old.
Everyone's
like,
covered every angle of it. This was live, so it's not like it was filmed. Back
a long
when
time
the Montgomery,
yeah.
This was live.
I think first of all, I want to say I think he was funny.
He was.
It just was nowhere near. It was like something. It was like a special you'll see on Amazon Prime. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It was
one of those like
Tubi. A Tubi special.
Like
an
8 page.
Yeah, it was a Tubi,
Tubi
special.
Special.
It was a Tubi
same
special.
Same thing to me. It was on the 9th page of Amazon Prime specials.
Oh, so bummed. It was just there's so much buildup. Everybody loves Cat. I don't know if y'all remember the interview he had with Joe Rogan, mm-hmm. but during that interview, Joe invited him to the club, and he said, I do arenas. And if that's the type of material that he had at the time, that is exactly why he said no to Joe Rogan's club, because he would have bombed his ass off. Everyone would have been staring at him blankly.
It didn't help him, too, that maybe 4 of his jokes, I think, were leaked. 4 of his bits that he did in that special was, I seen this, like, I was like, yo, someone recorded that on their cell phone.
Yeah.
I was like, I said, the whole Jamie Foxx mystery illness.
But they do the, sometimes they do the leaks to, again, build more.
You got to leak your crowd work.
Wait, Jamie Foxx mystery illness.
He did a joke about Jamie Foxx's
I know
illness.
But he already did that. What was that?
No, it was a leaked it was his tour
bit.
They during his during his tour.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and then he did it again on
he
the
did
special.
It again on his special. And I'm like, "Dang, like bro, that sucks." It's already bad enough that the material wasn't tip top, like he just it just wasn't the best. But then dude is leaking his stuff.
He did have a couple good bits. Like he was talking about how the Federal Bureau of Investigations does not know whose cocaine was in the White House.
That was so funny.
Honestly, bro. Like, it was in Hunter Biden's office. They don't know?
What disappointed me was like, bro, like you pride yourself on being a writer.
Yep.
Like, and that wasn't, it just was, it didn't look like he wrote it disciplined. No. You know what I'm saying?
It was
like,
disappointing.
And then if you compare, if you look at his, like, I think a lot of people's favorite Cap specials is like Pimp Chronicles.
Pimp Chronicles 1 and 2.
My favorite Cap specials is Pimp Chronicles 2. But his best one, I think, is Pimpin' Pimpin'. Mm. The one where he talked about Tink Tink.
No, poor little Tink Tink.
The reason being is, as a performer, he was at his best when he did that special. Every syllable he said, he moved with it. Yeah. Like every syllable, yeah. Like his cadence, his rhythm, everything was perfect.
They said, and we gotta sign up. Oh, it ain't no sign ups at all.
Ain't no sign ups. Tink tink tink. There was so much more energy. It's just now he's just he slowed down, and he doesn't, like, you know how Dave Chappelle slowed down, but he still makes up for it in his writing.
Well, it's in front of his crowd. He kind of let the
And then he held back, my nigga, bro. You're the one who blows the whistle.
Seriously,
he was over there. I'm trying not to get canceled, and bro,
he stopped a couple times.
What? That's
because he's he said something about people not telling the whole truth, and then stopped and was like, "Oh, y'all waiting for me to say who?
Look at the black people. This nigga gonna get canceled.
Yes, bro, we want you to get canceled. That's what you've been doing.
You pitched the whole thing on Shannon Sharp.
You said it on the interview. We've been having the same conversation for 20 years. Oh, me and my audience. Well, why are you holding back now? We want to have that convo.
It was just I was bummed. I was
disappointed.
So
it was more disappointing to me than it was bad.
Yeah. Yes.
So, because you set off all the bells and whistles with that interview. I'm waiting on his special. Mm. Oh, this special gonna be good.
Like, yep.
Nope.
It's a cash grab. Like I said, we got robbed of solid material.
He robbed us. He knew that interview was the moneymaker.
I know he could have sold that special on his own platform and not gone through Netflix, but I think people would have been even more pissed if they each drop $15 to watch it live on his
some platform.
So instead it's on Netflix, so it's a little bit less of like a
damn,
you fucked us. Yeah, that's how it felt, man. Yeah. I was man.
Now I gotta go watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Oh no, my God.
So I was there as the festivals had, like,
you were in LA.
I think the same night I was performing the same night it was being recorded, I think.
You performed the same night as
the roast.
Tom Brady roast. So Netflix, Cat Williams was the night before.
Okay.
So he performed on the 4th, the roast was on the 5th, because we watched some of the roast at Beachside Retro after the open mic.
He kept doing this thing with his voice. You know how he has that chipmunk voice thing that he does?
He over-exaggerated.
He overdid it, like, a lot. Like, every punchline was that. Yeah. Like, in holding the note. And I'm like, and then he does that, I don't know what. You know, that thing he does. He didn't do that before. That's a new character that he's done over the last couple specials. And I'm like, I don't like that country. I don't like that.
Mm. This is really random. But I also had, the best sushi I've ever had in my life in L.A. It's so good.
Gotta get to LA, man.
Oh, man.
Because here in Central Florida, all sushi is made by Mexicans.
Uh-huh.
In LA, it's actual Japanese people making the sushi.
Who know where to travel for their shit to blow up, because they know all the LA people eat sushi.
Right.
It was so good. Oh, my God.
So I think we brought a full circle. We could title it Netflix is a joke.
Yeah.
Cat Williams, God damn it, man.
The Tom Brady roast
was so
great,
bummed.
It was great.
Really,
Tom Brady roast was way better than Cat Williams special.
It was.
We talked about on the group chat already, but Nikki Glaser and Tony Hinchcliffe washed everybody. They fucking destroyed.
Yeah, they did.
Nikki Glaser was amazing right out the gate, and then Tony got pulled
Tony's
from the
just
crowd.
Way darker.
Yeah, oh God,
he just went way darker.
He was talking about people killing themselves, and he just went full Tony Hinchcliffe, and it was
We got pulled from the crowd. What do you mean?
So he was sitting in the audience with Dana White and some
they
other fighters.
Show,
and so he kind of plugged his show. He let Dana do 60 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing a special episode of Kill Tony. We're going to have a bucket draw.
Why is
that? No, that was good. That was solid.
That's literally what they did.
That was solid.
All right. This guy do it.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. So we had to let this dude Dana White do the bucket, and he actually did pretty good.
He did pretty good, but I'm sure Tony wrote the whole thing for him.
Probably.
And then Tony got up and just started roasting people in the audience, and then walked up to the podium and just started going, dude.
He started walking up to each person and just destroying them, and then walking to the next person.
He did a five-layer roast of just king on Burt Kreischer.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil none of it if you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, no, I saw that clip. Yeah.
Bro, that was so good.
Like,
that
everyone else stood at the podium, he just walked up to the person with his microphone.
He shined as a writer.
Yeah, your liver looks like...
No, you look like Tiger King and Liver King ate Burger King, and Martin Luther King has... Dude, it was just...
I've never seen Tony actually do comedy, so...
Really?
I've only seen the show, like him just sitting at the table.
His special... That came out right at around the time that someone was trying to cancel him. That was one of my favorites of Tony's.
I wonder if Netflix is going to pick up Kill Tony now that they let him plug that like that. They let him plug his show, and they called it Kill Tommy.
It would have to be no strings attached, like no restrictions type
shit. I would
think
it would have to be better comedians too.
Yeah.
Like, they'd have to have auditions for it.
So, really quickly.
In between. Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of, honestly, though, I don't think they should.
No, because that's the heart of the show. Makes,
like, it's already successful.
They'd have to make sure they vetted their regulars that they space in between to make sure the show goes well.
But
I think it could be good.
Right, yeah.
So, here's another conversation, which is kind of late to start a whole other conversation.
Oh, Jesus.
But you guys, have you guys seen Gordon Dixon?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So he's a comic from Tampa.
They didn't like him.
He went up to Kill
Tony. I met him at Moon Room. He did really great at Moon Room.
No, he's great. And he's great. It's just one of those things.
Gordon Dixon, we almost had him on the pod, but then some stuff came up and he had to dip out early. But I really liked him at Moon Room, and I feel like the material they just weren't feeling. Yeah. And then he didn't play along in the interview, and none of them liked him on the panel. but he's out there grinding.
Yeah. No. He's doing great. Yeah. It's just it was one of those things where, like, that was my watching him in that situation was my, like, nightmare.
Yeah.
About Chocolate Sundays. Oh, I was like, I cannot go up to fucking Chocolate Sundays and bomb at Chocolate Sundays.
And
like,
that's our thought on Kill Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's worst case scenario.
But that's just proof that you really never know. You have no idea how that interview is going to go.
Yeah.
And it can kind of make or break how they and how the audience feels about you. So hopefully he gets another chance to run it back, and he's a little more prepared for the interview part.
But the part that I wanted to actually talk about that annoyed the shit out of me, in the Tampa comedy group, a comic posted in that group anonymously. You know, on Facebook you can post anonymously in a group. They posted, hey, did you guys see Gordon bomb on Kill Tony?
Fuck you, whoever that was.
If you don't put your fucking name on it,
you pussy.
Yeah,
it's right. Like, you're not even going to put your name on calling him out for getting on a multi-platform, million viewers.
Drop a name, but you
fuck
anonymous.
You. Yeah. No. So, his set, I felt, went well. He brought the heat with the set.
Yeah.
It just, you know, with the audience, I don't know what was going on with the audience, but the panel just didn't like him for the interview, and that kind of, if the interview doesn't go well, it kind of downplays how well your set went. So, I know he's certainly not one to give up from the couple times that I've hung out with him and met him.
No, and he's a great comic. He's not a great comic or anything,
and he's not one to let any shit like that or anybody talking shit from Tampa to make him go, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore. He's going to stay out there grinding.
Yeah, and then this is someone talking shit who's still in Tampa.
Yeah, while bitch. He's like, how's them open mics, pussy?
Watch me later find out it's Rafiq that posted that.
Yeah, Rafiq wouldn't hit more than one open mic in a night, though. I love you, Rafiq.
That's not true.
No,
that's,
I know it's not true. He's like, we've hit multiple mics Rafiq. With him. I'm just because of the all naps
right.
and shit.
This is a crazy reference, right? Y'all remember the old Japanese Godzilla movies, like the ones from like the 70s, like the real old ones?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the monster, but there was this monster that would like hide inside of a mountain and sleep for like 1,000 years. And then he would come out only when like the world was in danger to fight like whatever. Like Rafiq does his 15 minutes and then goes and hides in a in a cave for 1,000 years until he's needed again.
God. We love you, Rafiq.
We love you, Rafiq.
Seriously, yeah, we do. We're bullying you into greatness.
Where's Rafiq at? What is he doing? Is he asleep?
Well, it was just, it was kind of a last minute.
It was last minute, yeah.
And he's coming out of Malabar, so.
Word.
Yeah, so it was a long ride for him to come out here. All right, so I figured out what it was. So May 25th, I am going to be headlining Rooted Reef.
What is that?
It is a kava bar down in Port St. Lucie.
Okay.
Yeah, so Rob runs it. That one's fun. So that'll be a fun one. But again, as we were talking, I was like, there is something I was supposed to put on my calendar. And that scares the shit out of me when I do that. Yeah. Then May 18th, I'm going to be at the Duran Golf Club opening for Paul Jensen, which would be a fun one. And the same night is Cloud Parlor.
Nice.
So I'm going to have to 18th. Yeah.
So I'm hosting that one.
You're hosting
Cloud Parlor.
Cloud Parlor. Oh, you are? Okay, good.
We had that conversation. I said lock it in.
Okay.
I wrote
host.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said.
Okay, perfect, perfect then. Perfect,
I think that
perfect,
I'm pretty sure perfect. That's what you said.
Because I was just about to say I need a host.
Yeah.
All right, so I know I got, you're going to be there, and I got a couple other comics booked, so I'm going to fill out that show to make sure.
Are you available to Cloud Parlor? So maybe you meant to or put didn't host. Mean okay. to put,
either way, you're the host.
I'm your guy.
Either way, you're the host.
I've been getting a lot of like people that I don't really see very often, and then they see me host, like even just my own mic have come up afterwards and been like, yo, you're treating every time you're on stage like you're in front of 100 people or whatever. Yeah. You're bringing it every single time. You're not treating anything like, oh, this isn't a big deal, so I'm just gonna half-ass it. I've been getting props for hosting stuff, and like I know that it's just a stepping stone. Like, people definitely don't want to get stuck in the host thing, but I'm a year and a half in. I am happy to be killer host in the area people look for.
Here's the thing that people don't understand, the value of being a good host. Mm-hmm. I just work for Donnell Rawlins because despite the fact that I've been doing this 6 years and now I headline more than anything, I never lost my hosting ability.
Yeah.
You know? So it matters. Mm-hmm. Both of those shows where I was opening for Rachel Feinstein and Mary Ellen Hooper, both of those shows, the venue didn't book a host. It wasn't a two-man. It was a man and a woman show, both shows.
Yeah.
And both Rachel Feinstein and both Mary Ellen Hooper, they were both like, hey, can you bring me up? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be a lot better if a comic brings me up versus like one of the staff people at the venue.
1,000%.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, again, both times.
Yeah.
You know? It was like, that skill is so important.
Yeah. I'm tired of hosting.
So important.
Yeah, I know it.
I definitely. The value of being good at it.
I'm
tired of hosting and going first.
Yeah. I feel both of those. Because, like, I definitely know that as a host, you're up there to take the bullet so that the crowd can enjoy the rest of the show. But also, I've had plenty of shows where I go up and host, and just the second joke in, they're hot.
Yeah.
And then the next person in line's like, yo, what the fuck? It's like, all right, but what am I supposed to hold back on my comedy?
No, you're, dude. Yeah, your
job is, I do my host job. I do all the spiel in the front. I do my jokes. If they love it, then fucking keep the ball rolling.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I think the host energy is good to be able to implement into any segment of where you are in the lineup if you can bring that energy. So.
Yeah, I want to bring this lineup to something. Yeah. Me, you hosting, preach feature.
Yeah.
Me close. Yeah. I think because feet. I don't think you haven't been here since you featured for me at
a joke joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. I featured for him at joke joint.
Yeah. He killed, and Alex was super happy. Alex was awesome. Like, bring him back, like for sure.
That was awesome. Never. Yeah. So never was easy cool. money.
Yeah. So I mean.
Yeah.
And I think with you hosting, I think that's a good.
Bro, Alex was killing in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So oh, that's so
funny.
They,
cool. were really laughing. Like, all the even the openers were getting laughs. I was like, oh, okay. It's going to be pretty good. You would murder in there, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm trying to. So that's the next step. I mean, because every time I do something new, I try to leverage it to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I'm literally, this Netflix is a joke thing I am sending to every booker being like, hey, I've now done this. I need my headline spot.
Fuck yeah.
So hopefully we just keep pushing. And then
all
right,
for sure.
Next.
Yeah. That's a lineup. I like the lineup.
Take opportunities, man. I'm trying to get on new stages every day.
Next month, I'm going to be featuring. This is another one where hopefully in the future, hopefully I do so well. My goal always when I go out, if I'm featuring, my goal is to do so well that they're like, all right, we can bring this guy back, but he has to headline because we don't want him opening for people.
Yeah.
June, so next month, the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Nice.
So it's five straight shows. I'm in New Hampshire. So that one's going to be good because it's five shows, $250 a show.
Damn.
And 5 days. So five shows, 5 days, $250 a show, and they cover my hotel.
Wow.
So I got to pay for my own flight and my own rental car.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm going to fly Spirit, so the flight will be cheap.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get whatever the cheapest rental car I can find on Turo. By the way, shout out to Turo, because when I went out there and rented the convertible Mustang, it was much cheaper through them.
Yeah, I've heard good things. It's through a private contractor, right?
Yep. The pickup stuff is kind of weird, but it's cool because you go there and the car is just parked in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And there's a lockbox, and they just give you the code. You open the lockbox, take the key out.
Cars.
Yeah, it's exactly what it
is.
That's
dope.
And then you drive the car around, do what you want to do. So I was trying to save money this trip, just because I didn't know how long I was going to be there. Because I also had the idea of depending on what happens. So Donnell Rollins did a show. The night before I left, and he had an after party, which I reached out, but I did not get invited to, which I understand because there's a lot of big comics in town. I'm not, you know, I'm nobody. But on the off chance that I did get invited, I was going to send my wife home to Florida by herself.
Yeah.
And I was going to stay in town.
You understand? This is huge for me. They,
no, honestly, because.
Yeah, it is, though.
Dave Chappelle was in town.
We've talked about it a million times. Networking is 50%, or if not more, of comedy.
Yeah. Right
there.
It's huge.
Especially if you suck. Then it's 100%.
Then it's 100%. That's hilarious. So then So June, I got to fill up. I got to freaking get back on top of my calendar because that's the other problem that I run into is I get so focused on one, like this Chocolate Sundays thing I've been so focused on that I haven't been worrying about the rest of my calendar and I got to fill out the rest of my year because, I mean, it's not that bad, but there's a lot of empty weeks in here that I have to fill. All right, cool.
So Chris spread his wings. Kendrick beat Drake. Preach got his first headline gig.
That's your first headline gig?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sold out. Keep making
sold out. Yeah, pack that shit out.
Sold out, nigga.
Sold out.
You say it, man.
What?
No, sold out, nigga.
Sold out. Woo. Yeah. Fellers.
Fellers.
Cat Williams, do better. Start emulating Preach.
Just give us another interview, nigga.
Cat Williams, be more like Preach, bro.
Hey, really quickly, I would like to take a moment to also shit on all the other comedy scenes really quickly. Because look at Melbourne, Florida, the small town where we have multiple mics where you can start as a brand new comic. We have traveling comics that will take you on the road so you can do feature spots. And we have our own homegrown shows run by our local homegrown comics where you can get your first headliner spot. So Melbourne, Florida, the small comedy scene where you can start from the very, very, very beginning and build all the way up to being a headliner. I would suggest, you know, you spend some time outside of Melbourne to develop those skills, but we literally have the apparatus built here.
Open micer to headliner.
That you can go from open micer to headliner right here within our system here in Melbourne, Florida, and it's something I'm super proud about.
All it's going to cost is $250 a class.
Listen, what we're saying is you can start from the bottom and get here.
Yeah.
You know? Shout out that guy that lost to Kendrick. I forgot his name.
Man, this has been the Funny Style Podcast.
Aubrey.
Yeah. You know what's the most pathetic part about the whole beef? Because I don't know if you know, like, the Weeknd's involved as well.
Mm-mm.
A guy named Aubrey and a guy named Abel are, like, threatening each other's lives right now.
Dorks.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll keep you updated on what's happening. Good night.